Very fortunate this weekend to have some family visiting. My sister Erin Parker is here with her beautiful daughter Everly, who's in the nursery. So we're so glad to have her with us. And my dad is here as well, and by now he needs little introduction, though I will say that the last time he was here to preach was back in May, and his sermon title was Kids Ruin Everything. So this time I decided I would tell him what he was going to preach on, and I wouldn't even ask him what the sermon title would be. So he's going to continue along in the series that we've been doing of the Old Testament's greatest hits. This morning, Daniel in the Den of Lions. So please welcome my father, Kurt Anderson.
Now, what is this? Telling me what to do. And so I'm so excited because I get to see they're three, and Aaron's one, and I show up at the house, and I sit down on the couch with Owen, and Owen says, "Well, Grandpa, how old are you?" I said, "Are you 42?" I said, "Son, I'm 64." And said, "Grandpa, you're so old. I don't know if I'm going to come back." Brian's telling me what to do, and he wants me to tell you all how to vote. No, it's great to be here. And it is always a joy. And obviously, it stands without saying, if you're down in Naples, come and see us at Naples Community Church. And our little choir is about the same as your choir. I call it the Naples Community Church World Tabernacle Choir. But you are more than welcome anytime, and then come up and see me. It's always a joy to have you folks with us. From the book of Daniel. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is out. Babylon has fallen. The Medes and Persians have come in and had their way with the Babylonian Empire, and they've got a new king in place, Darius. At least he's called Darius. Darius, which kind of means king all by itself. But so Darius is new, and he's probably a little nervous. He probably is not quite sure of himself. You know how it is with these new leader types, especially if he's a young guy. By the way, that reminds me. Daniel was probably in his 80s. And look at the picture that they have of Daniel. He's got brown hair and everything else. Unless back then 80s was the new 40. But the reality is Daniel was full of years. And he was competent. And he demonstrated great personal character. And he distinguished himself, as we heard in the first half of this reading. He distinguished himself over everyone else. And Darius was about to make him the one who would be over all of this, rather than him and three. It was going to be just Daniel. And that's when politics kicked in. And they tried to undermine him. And they got Darius to pass a stupid law about the only way you can pray at all is if you pray to him. The conspirators came and found Daniel praying and seeking mercy before his God. Then they approached the king said concerning the edict, "O king, did you not sign an edict that anyone who prays to anyone, divine or human, within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the den of lions?" The king answered, "The thing stands fast, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they responded to the king, "Daniel, one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the edict you have signed. But he is saying his prayers three times a day." When the king heard the charges, he was very much distressed. He was determined to save Daniel, and until the sun went down, he made every effort to rescue him. Then the conspirators came and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no interdict or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." Then the king gave the command, and Daniel was brought and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you faithfully serve, deliver you." A stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet of his lords, so that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No food was brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at the break of day, the king got up and hurried to the den of lions. When he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out anxiously to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you faithfully serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Daniel then said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent an angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no wrong." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. The word of the Lord. So I was at Starbucks this morning, and right under the window, if you've been right down the street here, there's this kind of cluster of tables and overstuffed chairs. Four guys are there, older guys like me. And they're talking loud because nobody can hear each other, so they're talking loud, the rest of us can hear. They're talking loud, and of course what they're talking about is Trump and Hillary. They're going back and forth and around and around, and one of them's making a bet, a $20 bet, that Trump's going to win, and somebody's trumping that bet with a bet that Hillary's going to win, and on and on and on. And then finally one of them gets up, and they're going to watch the debate tonight, and he said, "Pop some corn and enjoy your decay." Oh, whoa. Now, this is a crazy presidential election. And it causes us to wonder and ask the question, and these events of the last few days may give rise to what I hope is a whole new set of conversations about the nature of our culture, and what's going on. Is there any kind of moral consensus anymore? Do we have anything about which we share common values? Is there any moral consensus? You know, we're all brought up, and I was sitting here watching these little kids up front here, and I thought how sweet, how wonderful it is that they're here. And they're being nurtured within a particular kind of environment of love and care. But they're being taught about morals and manners and ethics and adhering to appropriate policies and procedures and honoring those who are in positions of legitimate authority. All of that. But do we have any of that anymore? And so it is, we have an election where so many of us are already skeptical about government and the effectiveness of any kind of leadership whatsoever, no matter who gets in office. And we begin to wonder, what ground do we stand on? We've got our Constitution, but is that being adhered to? We have our ways of doing things, but our ways of doing things seem to be in constant flux. And what is the ground that we stand on anymore, even as a nation and a culture? What consensus do we share, if any at all? So it is my hope that coming out of this, we might find ourselves in much more fundamental kinds of conversations. It seems that so much of that which constitutes fundamental conversations these days surround politics. What about that which is moral, civil, ethical? That which is right and wrong. And it may move us to a place where we begin to realize that we can't really trust, nor has the church or the people of God ever really trusted government. You know, in the 20th century, the number one cause for premature death in the 20th century was governments. Government. You survey the number of people that were victimized by the reality of governmental policies and the movement of governments over the face of the planet. Well, so here we have Darius, this newly installed king over this area that is the convergence area of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. And he's sort of inherited a bunch of bureaucrats. They're telling him what to do, how to function. And they're sparring with one another as who's going to be the number one in his cabinet. And they figure out a way to get Daniel. And that is that they tell Darius, just pass a law, as you know, in the Medes and Persians, it cannot be rescinded, so pass this law, sign it off, that anyone who prays to anyone other than to you will be thrown into the den of lions. So he says, well, okay, I'll do it. So he signs this law, this edict. And then they go and watch Daniel. Why Daniel? Because they knew Daniel was a man of character. Not just competency, but a man of character. He would continue to do what he had always done. And that is, and everyone knew, three times a day, Daniel would open his window that looked out toward Jerusalem as they all wanted to go back home, and he would pray to God. Not because there was something special about that direction, but the hope that he had with his people was that they would return to Jerusalem. So they nailed him because Daniel continued to pray three times a day. He continued as a faithful servant of God, continued in simple faithfulness. So they had him arrested, thrown into the den of lions. Darius, I don't want to look, and he turns the other way. He goes home and fasts that night, and he's hoping and praying. He can hardly sleep because he respects Daniel. He sees the kind of man that Daniel is, his competency and his character. He sees the kind of person that he is. He doesn't want to lose this man whom he was willing to trust. And he wakes up early, goes the next morning, and there he is. I looked at one piece of art last night of Daniel in the lion's den with all the lions behind him, and he's standing at the window with the morning sun coming in, and he looks 80. He's balding, and he looks his age, and he demonstrates his character. Now, there's one way we can look at this passage that I believe might miss the point. And that is that all we have to do is pray, and God's going to do those things like close the lion's mouth. All we have to do is pray, and the problems are solved. All we have to do is pray. You know, I love this set of cards where you all turn these in. And yet you all know from your experience how often, how many times you have prayed and prayed and prayed. And it seemed nothing changed. The reality is there is no cause and effect to prayer. If there is cause and effect, we can't see it. Sometimes it's immediate, but so often it seems that nothing ever happens. Nothing changes. We pray, we hope, we work, and nothing changes. The story of Elijah. Elijah prayed, and God sent down his lightning, and it burned up the sacrifice. But Ahab and Jezebel were the same as they had always been. They were out to get him. And in utter despair, Elijah goes down to the Sinai wilderness, completely dejected. He wants to die because nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. But what closed the lion's mouths? I believe it was Daniel's simple faithfulness. The simple faithfulness of Daniel. Nothing complex, nothing out of the ordinary. Day in, day out, simple faithfulness closed the mouths of the lions. You know, our young people are having to go to college at a time when there is the complete draining away of any consensus about life and faith. And what used to be a predetermined reality that someone who grew up in a Presbyterian church would be a Presbyterian kid and go to college and find others who are Presbyterian. Now our kids go, and it's a situation where those who have no faith whatsoever, that the number of those people, those young people, are increasing. That's a reality in our culture. And they go, and they may be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and anxious to find others who have similar backgrounds to themselves. And they find themselves in a lion's den with professors and other students quick and ready to ridicule one who would articulate a word about faith. And yet, simple faithfulness, character, simply adhering to one's identity, has a tendency to close the mouths of the lions. For all of us, when we do what we do, it's embarrassing sometimes to be in our social circles and say too much about our faith or anything at all. And it's increasingly this way. And sometimes we think we have to kind of stand up and make declarations when the reality is God's people simply need to maintain a straightforward, simple faith. We're salt. We're light. Maintain simple faith. Nothing profound, nothing outrageous, simple faithfulness. I watched my father well into his 80s and then into his 90s. I saw him change. Dad, who grew up a civil engineer, and he was a civil engineer for his entire career, was not a man that I ever understood to be a man of prayer. He was just not constructed that way. He was an engineer. But one evening when I was home, I went into the living room, and there was Dad. His hands that were all gnarled from all the times that his fingers had been jammed by a basketball when he was a kid. He was sitting quietly in the living room praying. And I found out that Dad, when he would go out on his walk every day in his 90s, he would take the list that he got from church of all the people on the prayer list, whether he knew them or not. During his walk, even with his walker, he would hold that little piece of paper and pray for people in the church. Nothing outstanding, nothing fabulous, nothing courageous, simple faith. And then on Dad's final night, he was going up the stairs to his bedroom. My sister was trailing behind him in case he faltered. He went to his bed, and there, Dad would always kneel at his bedside to pray. He kneeled at his bed, went forward to pray, and died. Simple faithfulness closes the mouths of the lions. Simple integrity, simple courage, simple character allows God's people to endure through the hardest, most difficult challenges of life. We need not muster something far beyond what we have been given. We simply are God's children, and we exercise what faith we have, which, as Jesus says to his disciples, is the size of a mustard seed. It's just a little thing. Our faith is so small compared to what we'd like it to be sometimes. But the reality is, as Jesus said, since your faith is the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it'll do it. Our faith, simple faith, closes the mouths of the lions of our lives. Whether it's that cancer diagnosis, all of these things on these cards, whether it's that child who's caught up with an addiction, whatever it may be, we take to that lion's den, simple faith. Will you bow with me in prayer? Lord, we're not heroes, but we've been equipped, not of our own doing, but your work within us, the gift that you've given us, and your Son, our Savior Christ. Lord, may we simply be faithful. We ask it in Jesus' name.